Well, welcome everyone. So glad you made it. I hope that your house didn't flood. Anyone's house flood? Mine did a little bit. I had a shop vac this week, holding it by the back door as water was flowing in like a river. I don't know if you guys had that. Down the street, there were some cars underwater, so everybody survived that out there. Crazy week. Crazy week. Well, praise the Lord. Wow, it got a lot quieter in here with all the kids out, huh? We're just happy to see you, Hope at Home. Thank you for being with us, and everyone here, thank you so much. We are currently in a series on the book of Ephesians, and what a great book, what a positive book, really encouraging book, and Pastor Jim kicked us off on this book, and so today we're going to continue on, and we're going through Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Now, if these scriptures seem familiar, it's because we've already read a bunch of it for our prayer time. And so we're actually going to go through that. I'm so glad we did that today. And Ephesians, this part, is about what Paul continually prayed for the believers in Ephesus. So some of the things you've prayed this morning already, these are the things that Paul continually prayed. He never stopped. All the time he prayed for these things. So let's just start by reading this next portion of Ephesians. We'll go through the first part here, Ephesians chapter 1, 15 through 19. It says this, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe." Oh, Lord, we pray that. We pray that this morning, Lord, for the spirit of wisdom, revelation, Lord. We pray that we would know the hope that you have in store. There is a glorious inheritance waiting for us, Lord. Help us make it through these troubled times and depend more on you. Amen. Well, the first thing that Paul continually prayed for is that God would give his people the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And that's like, whoa, that's a pretty big thing. Don't you think? This is big, man. Wisdom and revelation. Wow. But, you know, last week, if you listen, you know, he just got through saying that we're a chosen people. We're adopted as his children. We're blessed. You know, we're redeemed. We're forgiven. You know, he's lavished us with grace. And Paul even said, you know, he's sealed us with the Holy Spirit. And yet he continually prayed this for the people in Ephesus. And you think, well, why do I need this prayer? I've got all the other stuff, right? I'm good to go. I'm sealed. Aren't we fine? But the reason that we need revelation and wisdom continually, he says it right there, it's to know him better. To know him better. And it's not about us. It's about him. It's what it's always been about. And unless our relationship grows continually, it just becomes easy to get sidetracked with the ways of the world. Wouldn't you agree? It's just so easy to just drift off. And the safest and best way to make decisions in your life is to get to know the character of God better. And to know his heart and to know his will, to know him better. And Paul knows when he's writing this that wisdom and revelation are not just for, you know, the advancement of society, right? Or just to bring us to a new brink of technology, right? Or just to, you know, tap into, you know, the unreached regions of our brain and use, you know, more percentage of our brain. And that's not wisdom. That's not what wisdom and revelation is for. Ultimately, this is what they're for. To know God at a deeper level. To know him at a deeper level. And I love the scripture. Here's just one scripture from Job, chapter 11, verse 7. Here's what it says. You know, Job is asking all these questions, you know, and his buddies, and they're all asking questions of God. And here's what 11:7 says. Can you fathom the mysteries of God? Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? Kind of a rhetorical question there for Job. And the answer is no, you can't. There's no limitations for God. And I love that. There's no limitations for how well you can get to know God. How deep you want to go. There's really not a limitation. Because we grow throughout our whole lives, right? And it doesn't matter how well you know him today, wherever you're at with him today in the room, you can know him better. You can know him better. And that right there, that is a key for all of our relationships. It's the key, getting to know someone better, right? In the, whatever relationship you're in your marriage, your family, you know, kids, parents, keep getting to know them better. This is the key to growing in relationship. This is exactly why we're going through the Bible in a year right now at Hope Church. You know, as we're all together, you know, many of us are in on the app. Maybe you're reading on your own, but a lot of people are in on the one-year Bible reading plan. And as we continually read God's Word here at Hope Church, it's not only to discover what God has done for mankind since the beginning, it's really to know who God is. Anyone out there been reading this year quite a few days? It's been like 112 days or something like that. Anyone out there feel like they know God a little bit better? Yeah. That's what happens when you stay in the Word. And it's good. We know his character. And that's how your life gets reshaped, as you know God at a deeper level. You know, everything there is to know about God, the things that have been revealed to man, it's written in God's Word. So if you want to know it, you got to go there, and you got to read it, and you got to get to know the character of God. And that leads me to the second part of this prayer. Paul prays that the eyes of our hearts will be able to see. So he's saying, look, you got to see with your heart. See with your heart. What do I need to see? Isn't this just about knowing, you know, what's right and wrong? Wisdom and revelation? Well, it's not just about that. I need to see in life with more than just what's in my head. Than just with my brain, right? It's about understanding that there's hope and that we are called to focus on that no matter what happens in our lives. Because a lot of tough stuff happens. And many of us here today, you've had some tremendous hardship in your life. Can't imagine what some of us have gone through. But here Paul is saying, look, we got to focus on the hope that we have no matter what. That's what carries us through. Right? A lot's going on in the world right now. Crazy stuff is happening. But we got to focus on the hope that we have. So Paul's heart here is that we would not just experience brain activity when we read the Bible, right? But there's heart activity. And his heart is that we would all know the hope that we're called to. And when we get wisdom and revelation, this should produce hope in our hearts. Right? So we can apply that to ourselves and just say, look, what is clouding the eyes of my heart right now? Whatever's in my life that's clouding the eyes of my heart, those are the things I need to get rid of. If you're having trouble connecting with the Lord, life doesn't make sense, what's going on, and you're upset and angry at what's happened, we've got to connect with Him on a deeper level. Get rid of the stuff that's clouding the eyes of your heart. And then the rest of this passage, you know, Paul explains, he sees fit here to explain this hope a little bit more. And he says, you know, the hope that we're called to, right, is a glorious inheritance in the future and incomparable power. And it's hard to really explain what that means, because the Bible also teaches that, you know, we can't completely fathom it all. So try to explain it right now is difficult, but let me just help us with one passage or one scripture from Psalm. Here's Psalm 145, verse 3. It says this: great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. That helps me, because as much as I can think about Him, I just can't, I'm never going to fathom everything there is to know. You know, He's revealed certain things to us, and we can know. But He's so big and so great, who can fathom what there is to know? But Paul still expands here. He expounds on this in this next part, Ephesians 1, 19 through 23. So let's read this next part. He talks about the power. Okay, that power is the same as the mighty strength He exerted when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Why does Paul say this? What does he want us to know here? He wants us to know that when we pray, okay, when we do receive wisdom and revelation, when we seek to know Him better, when the eyes of our hearts begin to see more clearly and we start to have hope, we are connected to something. We're connected to His power. And that's pretty cool. But that power is the same. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That's the power that you connect to when you pray for wisdom and revelation. When you ask for the eyes of your heart to be open, and you do this continually, it's the same power. It's not different for you. It's the same for you. You can connect with the Lord. And we may not be able to fathom all of this, but we can sure be connected to it. We can be connected to it. And what this tells me is that there's nothing impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. You know, we can see miracles. We can see healing. Nothing is impossible. Here's something else that's not impossible, okay? We go through hard times. God can carry us through that. That's also what it means, that nothing is impossible. It may feel impossible to get through what you're going through, but being connected with the Lord, He will help you through. He will set you back on your feet and set you in the right direction. And so we have to stay connected with God. God will bring you through anything you're going through right now. He'll carry you through. And we yield to His will and we stay connected to His power. Right? Through prayer, through reading God's word, through being the community of believers. That's how we do that. And this is good stuff. This is what Paul really wanted to see. He wanted, this is what the fruit of what he was looking for. And this is what he was hoping for as he journeyed through the known world and he told people all about Jesus. This is the fruit he was after. This is what he loved. Didn't love so much all the powerful miracles and all that stuff. It was more about people turning to him and relying on the Lord. That's what Paul was after. And that's what he saw here in Ephesus. And that's what he heard. So we said that Paul wrote this from a prison cell, which is amazing in and of itself to just think about the encouraging words that are coming from him out of this difficult time. You know, the whole reason he was even in prison was because he was preaching the gospel and his own people rejected him, turned against him, and he was arrested. And you think, wait, how does a guy who's so connected to the power of God, because if anyone's connected, it's Paul, right? How does a guy that's so connected and doing everything that we just talked about end up in jail? Doesn't seem right. Well, God had greater plans. God had huge plans. He's always had plans through suffering and hardship. Sometimes those are the ways we turn to Him. It's hard even for me to say that because it feels really insensitive to someone who's gone through just horrendous difficulty. And I'm not saying God does that to us. Rah, I'm going to punish you and make you turn to me. No, but through the hard times, He does want us to turn to Him. And why God saw fit to put Paul in prison over this is because God's whole purpose is to have a relationship with us and to know Him better above everything else, above all the comforts of the world and all the things that could go right. You know, there's the verse about if we gain the whole world and forget our soul, what good is it? And God knows that. Knowing Him better above all else. So, you can imagine then, Paul in prison, he's hearing feedback that there are believers out there that actually listen to his message. What a huge comfort for him as he sits in jail. And it charged Paul's faith through a difficult time. Right, hear what I'm saying. Through difficult times, the word and the people and the believers, this charged his faith up to make it through. Some of us need that today. And you can hear Paul's heart as he speaks from prison. He says, I'm so encouraged, I can't stop giving thanks for you. And now I'm praying for you all the time, continually. It just filled up his spirit. And you know, walking with God sometimes, you know, it might seem like we need to experience the miraculous or have all our prayers answered or, you know, maybe never go through trouble or at least that's how we'd like it to be. But we know that that's not how it is. It's not the case. And it's because it's always been about knowing Him better. It's been about knowing God and then making God known so we can help others. It's about living with hope for a future. Amen? Amen. What a great prayer. He prays for them. So the next thing I want to do here, as we've talked about that, I just want to share with you what happened in Ephesus and what prompted this kind of language and why Paul even wrote this. And this is what, this is kind of like Bible nerd stuff. And I love this stuff. So I want to share, I just want to share what happened in Ephesus so you know. I want you to understand that Paul went on three missionary journeys before he was arrested and then eventually went to Rome. And then we kind of lose track of what happened to him. And he went through all kinds of hardship, grief. You know, he was rejected. He was flogged and beaten and lashed and stoned and shipwrecked, imprisoned. All this stuff is recorded in God's Word. But on one of those journeys, the third journey, Paul goes to Ephesus. And when Paul arrived, here's the first thing that happened. He ran into these disciples. And these disciples knew John the Baptist. They were disciples of John, and they understood that they needed to be baptized and repent of their sin in order to get right with God. That sounds pretty good. But then Paul says, well, did you receive the Holy Spirit? And they basically said, what are you talking about? Because they didn't know that part of it, about the Holy Spirit being with you all the time. And so when Paul prayed with them to receive the Holy Spirit, here's what happened. The Spirit shows up and poured out on them, and it sets off a chain of amazing events that had not occurred anywhere else. Crazy stuff was happening, and what's so awesome is that we get the letter to the Ephesians, but we also get Paul's journeys to Ephesus, and we record what happened there before this letter was written. And so that's found in Acts 19. When you get some time, check out what happens in Paul's journeys. So we get part of the story here, and I want to read some of that. The Bible records this profound statement here in Acts 19, 11 and 12. And it says this, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and the evil spirits left them. But this was crazy stuff. And so because this happened, Paul was able to preach for a really long time in this area, in Ephesus, in this region. First time around, he prayed to go to this region. He had a heart for this region. But God said, no, you can't go. And he sent him up through Macedonia instead. So he always had a heart for this. And then when he gets here, finally, years later, this happens. And because it was so effective, he preaches for 2 whole years in the area. And the Bible says this, that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia, all of them heard the word of the Lord. Everybody. How amazing would that be? That's exciting. And so what was happening? People were coming to know him better. But other people weren't coming to know him so much better. Other people weren't interested in relationship with God. They were interested in the power of God. They wanted the same power, but not the relationship. And so some of the Jews that were there, after seeing Paul's success and the power that seemed to come from him, they actually tried to do the same things that Paul was doing. And so they thought they could imitate the works of the Holy Spirit through Paul. And they had trouble, like, fathoming what was going on. And so they thought, like, there's got to be a way to do this. There must be a way to make God move. If I just do it this way, then God will just do this. He'll do what I want. And so there's this priest. The priest had 7 sons. And they were out trying to do this, trying to figure this out. And they thought, literally, they thought if they just saw it, said the magic word, which is Jesus, if they just said the magic word of Jesus, then they should be able to do the same things as Paul. And so they thought they had figured out the formula to get God to work. And they go around, and the Bible says, they go around and they would say this, "In the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, I command you to come out." That doesn't sound like they have a relationship with Jesus, do they? But that's what they say. "In the name of Jesus, who that guy Paul preaches, you're going to do what I say." It's right there in Acts 19. You got to read it. Here's part of the story. Acts 19, 15 and 16. "One day, the evil spirit answered them." So they said this to an evil spirit. "In the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, come out of there." Right? Spirit answers them. "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on these seven sons. He jumped on them, overpowered them, and gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Right there in the Bible. That's what happened. And so this incident sets off a whole new level of reverence for God. And this became known all over the region. And not only did people come to respect Paul's relationship with God, but they were seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor in the entire province. Man, what if we did that? What if Northwest Arkansas did that? The entire region of Arkansas holds the name of Jesus in high honor. What miraculous things would God do? But here's the point. Paul was never after power in tapping into all that. He was after a passionate relationship with God. And that's the message he was spreading. That's how you stay connected to true power in your life, and how you stay going, how you make it through the hard stuff. And you share that hard stuff with others. Don't let the enemy make you keep that inside. If you have been through hard things, you need to share that. You need to share God's goodness in your life and how you've come through that. Because there are many others out there who are going through the same things, and they need to hear a word of encouragement from you in your prison. They need that. You have power in your words and in your relationship with God. Be encouraged. God's not going to put what you've been through to waste. Maybe he wants you to share with your family or someone here in church, or maybe a neighbor or someone at work. But I can guarantee you there's someone in your life and your world of influence that is struggling, needs to hear a word of encouragement. Amen? Okay, I want to wrap this up. And I just want to tell you, here are the results of what happened in Ephesus. Okay, one, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. And this is all recorded in these chapters, okay? It says, many people came and openly confessed their sins. They were pouring out confession. Oh, they were repenting. It was so wonderful. It said, the Bible says, numbers of people who had been practicing sorcery all brought their scrolls and burned them publicly. Numbers of people, lots of people. It was such a huge event that Luke, who wrote Acts, he records the value of the scrolls. Value of the scrolls was recorded at 50,000 drachmas. Anyone know what a drachma is? I had no clue, okay? We don't function in drachmas. But here's basically what a drachma was. In those, it was basically a silver coin, and each drachma was worth one day's wages. So if you calculate out 50,000 drachmas, it's 137 years of someone's pay. Okay, and if you just do the math, this is millions and millions of dollars worth of these scrolls that people just were coming and burning them. And they're saying, we don't want this kind of power anymore. We don't want this. This is false. This is fake. We want true power, which is a relationship with a holy God. That's what we're after. And people were just confessing. Man, I want to see that kind of revival. Paul was so effective through the Holy Spirit in this region that the entire economy of the region was changed. He disrupted the entire industry of idol manufacturing in the region. They used to make these little idols of Artemis, this goddess. And Pastor Jim was talking about that in the first week. And sell them and get people to buy all this stuff they thought they needed. But he disrupted that. People stopped buying these things. And the business owners in the region banded together. And they started a riot. Because they wanted to remove Paul. Talk about hardships. And it got crazy. And so Paul, after experiencing all this, he changed his whole plan. His whole missionary journey changed. He switched directions. And he was planning on visiting the Corinthians and staying with them for like a year and a half. But instead of doing that, he writes them letters. That's why we have 1 and 2 Corinthians. Because of what went down in Ephesus. He writes them letters instead and talks about it in those letters. And he says, I'm staying in Ephesus. And listen to this. He says, because a great door for effective work has opened. I mean, is that the biggest understatement in the world? I'm going to stay here because this great door of effective ministry is opened. Yeah, the entire region coming to know the Lord. That's crazy stuff. I want to invite the worship team to start heading up there as I kind of close things up. Thank you guys for leading us today in great worship. There's something Jesus said. Our Lord Jesus said this in the book of Matthew. Matthew 7, 21 and 23. Here's what he said. Listen closely to these words, okay? He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. See, above all else, after all that awesome stuff happened, Paul wanted the Ephesians to remember. Know him better. Know him better. Let's pray that together. Lord, we're so grateful for all the work that you have done through so many people throughout so many ages and how so much hardship has brought the gospel to us today. We should treasure all of these words that we have in our possession. But you've given it all to us so that we can know you better. We can understand that you have a plan of salvation for us that you have implemented And if we turn to you and ask for forgiveness, we invite you into our lives, if we ask for the Holy Spirit to be with us, you will not deny that. Lord, teach us to know you better. Let your Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.